Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Registered dietitian Sarah Keogh, good morning, welcome back.
Good morning.
So Sarah, you work with the Celiac Society of Ireland, so you know all about gluten. So what you're going to do for us today is sort the facts from the fads and the myths around gluten, people adopting gluten-free diets, gluten intolerance, and then at the severe end of things, celiac disease. Mm-hmm. So what is gluten? Do we need it? Does it help us in any way?
No, we don't need it for anything. It's a protein that turns up in wheat, and you'll get it in rye and barley as well. And basically, it gives sort of structure to bread. It's, you know, when your bread rises, it's what keeps it up and it stops it from falling into crumbs. So it's very important for really, really nice bread.
Yes,
but
because
in terms
had gluten-free bread and
it's improved dramatically over
Has
the years,
okay.
But yeah, so we need it for a very nice bread, but we don't need it from a health point of view. So there's no great harm if you choose not to eat it, but there's no need to cut it out unless you actually have to,
because there has been this trend around going gluten-free. Like, so what are the myths around the benefits of it? Are any of them true?
No. So one of those things there a few years ago, there was this huge fad where suddenly everyone was like, oh, gluten is it. And if I cut out gluten, I'm going to lose weight, because it's amazing. If you cut out bread, biscuits, cakes, you lose weight.
Yeah.
But the idea was this gluten was automatically harmful for everybody. So it is harmful for some people, obviously, if you have celiac disease or something like that. But for the rest of us, it was just a bit of a fad. But it's kind of ruined things a little bit for some celiacs. So in some ways, it's great because there's more gluten-free products on the market. But on the other hand, people do kind of think, oh, here they come. They're just having their fad. Yeah.
Okay. Now, some people will say, though, that they kind of get maybe relief from some mild gut symptoms if they cut out gluten. But without getting too distracted into FODMAPs, you think that could be to do with FODMAPs, is that right?
It can do. So a couple of things can go on there. Wheat can cause gut issues for a couple of reasons. One, you could have a direct wheat allergy, so it's not that common, but it's there. You can be sensitive to gluten, either celiac or what we call a non-celiac gluten intolerance. Or there's a third thing in wheat called fructan that in some sensitive people does give them bloating. Particularly if there's someone who will get it worse from white bread, but not from brown bread. That can often be a sign that it's a fructan intolerance.
Okay. So there is such a thing then as a gluten intolerance?
Yes, there is.
And how do you know if you have a gluten intolerance?
So basically we rule out everything else. So we start off with, you know, you'll sit down with a registered dietitian. They'll go through and see, you know, what's going on with you. What symptoms are you getting? And then if we think wheat is the issue, we will rule out celiac disease first. If it's not celiac, then we'll have a look at a wheat allergy. If it's not a wheat allergy, you might look at the fructans. And then you might look at okay, it looks like it is gluten specifically. That's the issue. We do see when people do tests on it, we can see reactions in the gut in a lot of people who have non-celiac gluten intolerance. But it's really, really important to rule out celiac disease first.
Yeah, and we'll come to celiac disease. So you've mentioned wheat allergy a couple of times now. So this is a separate thing from being gluten intolerant.
It is, yes.
Because a lot of people will say they get bloated after bready things and white bread.
They do. It's pretty common. Now, it's more often either fructan or celiac. But the wheat allergy can be in there as well.
Okay, and fructan then is?
So it's a great thing. It's called a fermentable carbohydrate. And basically, for most of us, it's a lovely, healthy thing that's actually really beneficial to our gut. It feeds our gut bacteria and it has a lot of really nice things that it does for the gut. But in some people who are sensitive, the gut bacteria, when they get it, they produce huge amounts of gas from it. So people get huge bloating and they can get quite nasty constipation that's not relieved even with a high fibre diet. So taking the fructans out or reducing them can actually make people feel a lot more comfortable.
And that is the FODMAP.
That's the FODMAP,
that
people
will have heard about. Okay. You said about ruling things out and everything. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of allergy tests now available around the place, and some of them can be quite expensive as well. Are they?
So be really, really careful to start looking into sort of food sensitivity or food intolerance tests or things like that. So if you think you have an allergy, it's your GP. You go to your GP.
Okay.
If you think you have a food intolerance, you go to your registered dietitian and you look for a CORU registered dietitian for that. I do see people and they spend a huge amount of money on all different kinds of tests, where people are getting them to hold electrodes or people are getting them to do, and they can look good in terms of blood tests and they come back with lists of things, you know, like a green list and a red list and an amber list and supposed to avoid this, and there's hundreds of foods on it. Those tests we know don't diagnose or rule out any food sensitivities. So we did this with the Celiac Society because so many of our members have gone through this. We did a video video a couple of years ago where we did IgG tests that are often marketed as food intolerance or food sensitivity tests. And I did them, and then one of our staff who is celiac did them. And what these tests tell you is what you ate in the last 3 weeks. So mine came back saying red for peanuts, because I eat peanuts nearly every day. So if I eat them a lot, they're going to come up as red. Now, I have no sensitivity to peanuts.
Yeah.
But our staff member who was celiac never eats gluten. So gluten came up as green for her, as that it was safe because she hadn't eaten it in the last 3 weeks. So it didn't show up. So even though she was celiac, this test came back and said she could have gluten.
Okay. So go to the GP.
Go to the GP. Save your money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just before we get to celiac, I suppose people are going to wonder as well, when you're talking about that if you do give up bread, cakes and things like that, that you will lose weight and all that. Where do you stand on low carb, no carb?
There's no need for it. It suits some people. But, you know, what we have to remember is that whole grains are actually very, very important for our health. And then if you're eating whole grain bread, things like that, you actually get less heart disease, less type 2 diabetes and less cancer. We really don't want to cut out those really nutritious whole grain
foods.
So
are you saying there are good carbs and bad carbs?
Oh, yeah.
Carbs?
Like, well, not so that there's bad carbs. We're definitely better on. I definitely wouldn't be a fan of a very low carb diet, but it does suit some people and it works for them.
Okay. But you would say if you're having carbs, the white ones...
The odd time. They're nice.
Probably,
they're nice.
Yeah.
But lean into the whole grain ones a bit more.
Slightly browner ones, and that kind of... mealy, I would describe brown pasta as a lot of the time. But anyway, okay, so celiac disease, what is it?
So celiac disease is an autoimmune condition and it is triggered by gluten insensitive people. So about a third of people in Ireland carry the genes to get celiac disease and then it needs a trigger. We don't know what the trigger is, but we know once it turns up in a family, all the family members need to be tested because it tends to trigger it in everybody. So celiac disease mainly affects the gut. So most people with celiac disease will get gut symptoms. They'll have things like diarrhea or constipation or bloating or stomach pain. But about 40% of celiacs have either no gut symptoms or they've such mild gut symptoms they don't notice. But the celiac disease affects lots of other systems. So it can affect your nervous system. So we can see people getting huge fatigue very suddenly. They will get migraine. We see pins and needles. I've had patients who've stopped walking because the nervous system was so damaged. And once they got onto the gluten-free diet, then they recovered and a bit of physio back to normal with it. We see mouth ulcers. So if you get recurrent mouth ulcers, go and get checked for celiac disease. That's quite a common sign. And there's a skin rash you can get, which is a great name. It's called dermatitis herpetiformis. And it is a very itchy skin. It's one of the itchiest skin rashes you can get. But it comes up as a little yellowish blister and then people scratch it. So they look kind of scabby. But what's interesting is it typically turns up on the outside of both elbows or the outside of both knees. And we get patients who were newly diagnosed celiac and then they say, oh yeah, and I've had this weird rash for the last 15 years that no one's been able to fix.
Yeah.
And it has been this rash all the time.
Okay, because people are probably thinking mainly about gut symptoms.
Yes.
Nearly half people with celiac won't.
Won't even have gut symptoms. So don't always wait for a funny gut with it.
So come here. It's one thing that I think people find hard to understand is that if you have celiac disease, you can be... You can be eating gluten away before being diagnosed and you do live and and everything else. But then once you stop, you can never let a trace of gluten pass your lips again. Is that
That's
right?
That's what we want. So people can, as I said, have it for years and years and years and not know. But those people, we find people who are tired. They've been having their iron has been low all the time. They've had headaches. They've had funny, you know, they've just had issues. And the thing is that untreated celiac disease can cause infertility. So we've had patients who've had 5 or 6 miscarriages. We've had people who were gone through 5 rounds of IVF and it was the celiac disease that was the problem. Yeah. You know, we have people getting osteoporosis in their 40s because they've not been absorbing their nutrition. You know, we see there's an increased risk of a particular type of bowel cancer if you're not treated. So it's actually really important to get treated, even if you feel OK generally or if you're not feeling very sick with it.
And so should people who are having struggles with their fertility, should they all go in?
We'd recommend, to get tested. It's a simple blood test with your doctor to rule it out. So absolutely. Some places will automatically do it. But I know lots of people struggling with fertility. It's never occurred to them that celiac might be in there. And for men as well as women, it's important both partners get tested.
So after you get your diagnosis, then is it very difficult to manage then? Because basically you can't have a scintilla of gluten then. That'd be enough to kick off symptoms.
This is it. So it's 20 parts per million. So if 20 millionths of your food is gluten, that is going to be enough to trigger the gut. So if you put it as a time thing, that is 20 seconds in 11 days. So it is a really, really tiny amount of gluten. So it's, you know, people kind of think, oh, well, it's grand just to have gluten-free bread. And yes, you're going to do that. But, you know, if you see a gluten-free muffin and it touches an ordinary muffin, it's not gluten-free anymore. People have to have a separate toaster. They have to have their own butter. You know, if you make toast and you put crumbs in the butter, that's loads of gluten. That's more than enough to make someone with celiac disease sick. And not everybody will get sick immediately. For some people, it might take a couple of months for the damage to come up. So even if someone isn't sort of vomiting straight away after it, it doesn't mean it's not doing them harm.
Okay. You would say underdiagnosed in Ireland, yeah?
Underdiagnosed worldwide. So at least 75% of people with celiac disease are undiagnosed. So huge numbers of people are having all kinds of problems and don't realise it. And in Italy, they're actually going to start screening every... Well, they're actually doing it at the moment. They're screening every school child in Italy for celiac disease right now because it's such a big problem. So it affects, you know, at least 1 in 100, but probably closer to 1 in 50. And with children, they get stunted growth. They don't do as well at school. They have all these problems. So Italy are the first country to actually just stand up and actually start checking.
Would you say
for celiac disease?
We should be screening here?
Absolutely should be screening here. We miss so many people, and the studies now are suggesting that with celiac disease, people often go on to get other autoimmune diseases like type 1 diabetes and so on. But if we actually catch them and treat the celiac disease early, it looks like they may get fewer autoimmune diseases. So this is why with the Celiac Society, it's Celiac Awareness Month, and we're doing lots of events. If people want to join and have a look, we're on celiac.ie and our Instagram page is at Celiac Ireland, and we've loads of stuff coming up over the month. So if anybody's any questions about celiac disease, they can absolutely get in touch with us.
Okay, so someone says here, can you please ask your guest to explain the damage done by eating gluten inadvertently, both immediately and lasting? I have celiac disease and was glutened over a week ago. So this is kind of shows us now how obviously it's very hard to control your whole world and control the unknown unknowns. Did the muffin touch the muffin? I was violently ill for 4 hours. Still have exhaustion, right? So it's over a week ago. Thanks for having this topic on your show.
So it really varies. So about 40% of people will have that severe reaction with the vomiting and being really, really sick. About 60% might have milder symptoms. How long it lasts varies a lot. And we don't actually have really good research on it. So maybe up to 10 days of damage in the gut, but we actually see some of the immune effects of it, which are going around the body for up to 9 months after you've had gluten hanging around. Now, whether that's going to cause harm or not, we don't know, but we do see that effect there with it.
Okay, so we should all be a lot more patient and compassionate
with our nice celiacs. Yes, they're not trying to be difficult.
And the GP is the first protocol for
GP is the first to call, but you have to be eating gluten when you're tested, and that's so important. Don't just cut out gluten to see. Okay, so once you cut out gluten, if you get tested, the test is going to come back negative even if you are celiac. So stay eating gluten, get tested with your GP, and you need to be on gluten for 6 weeks. If you've cut it out already.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Thank you very much. And you want people to check out the Celiac Society of Ireland, who are running a range of information events this month. People can go to Celiac. That's COELIAC.ie. Sarah Keogh, thank you very much.
Thank you.